Hello, my name's Bernadette Russell, and here is a story that I wrote for Imbolc, which is a beautiful pagan festival celebrating the very beginning of the first signs of spring and of hope and of new beginnings, celebrated in various different ways, which I've sewn into the story. I told some of this story whilst I was in Lesnes Abbey Woods. Today, which is Imbolc Eve, January the 31st, in the company of the wind and the birds. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you. It was Kay's hen night. There were seven of them. All of them were in Kay had known her whole life. Sam, Jackie, Tash, Vera, Kerry and Ratchner. And it was Ratchner who'd organised a trip to Brighton with an afternoon tea in the Queen's Hotel, a mani-pedi in the spa, followed by a mooch around the cute little independent shops in the North Lanes. And then, in the evening, an outing to an immersive theatre experience called Every Green Reed Quivers, which took place outside in a private garden. Jackie asked what the hell immersive theatre meant. Sam said she'd been to quite a few of these things before, and that once she got chased around a dusty warehouse by a nice man wielding a plastic chainsaw. It had been a bit tiring and stressful, but also really thrilling. They all got excited. Ratchner said it wouldn't be quite like that. It was going to be more peaceful and magical, she said, and you got a cup of locally sourced organic hawthorn mead. No strippers, but definitely a night to remember. Actors who were actual witches, or witches who were actual actors, or something like that. Nice. On the publicity, it said they could expect lots of laughter, some storytelling, music and craft, and that they would leave transformed. It was on the night of the 1st of February, and Kay thought that Ratchner's plan sounded great. She decided she would wear her new red shoes for the hen do. They reminded her of holly berries, of blood and lipstick. They hurt a bit, but she didn't mind because they were beautiful. She found herself humming Let's Dance whenever she tried them on. Put on your red shoes and dance the blues. She sang quietly to herself, dancing a little bit in her kitchen the night before. On the day of the hen, they headed straight down from Brighton Station so they could walk along the seafront. It felt as if they were walking into the sea. Kay said she wanted to get her fortune told. Why do you want that? Said Sam. You know your fortune. You'll push out a couple of kids, give up your dreams and get fat and angry like the rest of us. Oh my God, this is supposed to be a celebration, said Jackie. Sam said she was only joking. She found cynicism hard to resist. Kay asked aloud to no one in particular. You know, like the fortune tellers, the tarot readers and all that lot. Do they tell you what is definitely going to happen or what only might happen? No one was sure of the answer to that. By late afternoon, after the fairy cakes and the self-care in the day spa, they emerged with pleasantly full tummies and nails coloured like childhood sweets. Then they all went and bought matching silver skull rings from the same stall in Kensington Gardens, after which Kerry cracked open a bottle of celebratory Prosecco, even though it was only 4 o'clock, and they swigged it on the street, except for Sam, who had a botanical mocktail in a flask as she was celebrating 5 years sober, and Tash, who nibbled at her homemade hash brownies instead, because, she reminded them all, she was the wildest. By 7 o'clock, they arrived at the private garden, which was the venue for the show. A beautiful, tall, elegant woman said, "Merry meet," and gave them each a walnut shell with a teaspoon of liquid in. This is an invitation to live a magical life. Drink, she purred. Cool, thanks, said Tash, secretly hoping that meant it was magic mushroom tea. In the garden, as they all sipped from their walnut shells, they looked about and saw 40 cats, all sitting on soft blankets and velvet cushions around a flickering fire. There were no other people apart from them, the beautiful, tall, elegant lady, a little girl who sat cross-legged reading a book, and an older woman who sat at a wheel, spinning pale white wool. And there must have been a speaker hidden in the hedges, Kay thought, as she could hear bells, the ghostly sound of a theremin, the soft weep of a violin. The beautiful, tall, elegant lady introduced herself as Bridget. She said, "Greetings all and merry meet. Tonight we are going to make and learn and dance and sing together as my sister spins the world new. Things might get weird. If you're not up for weird, you may leave now." No one moved. They squeezed each other's hands in silent complicity. Smiled. There were a few nervous giggles. Bridget had green eyes, Kay noted. She also seemed to flicker. Maybe it was the effect of the walnut potion or the flickering fire or the Prosecco from earlier, or just tiredness and a fairy cake sugar hangover. But Kay felt dizzy just looking at Bridget, as if she was a tall bridge over a rocky ravine, and her age was hard to place too. Kay had triple vision, saw three Bridgets, young and then older and full of life, then withered and ancient and back again all at once. Kay shook her head to clear it. And then Bridget sang a song to them, a strange song filled with whistles and clicks and growls. The walnut shell she gave them was so tiny, yet they sipped and sipped, and still there were more strange brew inside, smoky, moorish, irresistible. And above them the sky swirled green. They could see the dark grass growing. After the song faded away, they each sewed poppets out of soft felt given to them by the strange little girl, and then they filled their doll shells with grass and with wool and fragments of their own clothes and hair, then sewed them shut and propped the dolls so they were sitting around the fire, each one a miniature version of the woman who made her, and they did all of this quietly, without instruction, as if they knew what they were doing, as if they'd done this a million times before. As one, they each pricked a finger. A drop of blood from each fell to each poppet. The fire burned brighter for a moment, and at this moment, Bridget began to tell a story, peculiar and lulling. It was like someone telling you their dream, thought Kay, if that dream was as long as a year and winding as a river. In Bridget's story, a man went blind and wandered in the cornfields for a year. A woman turned into a fox and disappeared from the human world forever. A well led to fairyland, where a wedding turned into a battleground. A man was tasked with writing the world into being. A rainbow was eaten by a hungry wild girl who became a god. The story had no beginning, no middle, no end. But Bridget said, "Beware of the ends of stories, my girls. For often they end in riches, in crowns, in castles, wifedom, and the end of adventures. But there are other, darker, older stories that do not end but present instead a new beginning, or a fork in the road at least." Bridget said, "All words are magic words, my dears," and with this invited them to write their dearest wishes with lipstick on chipped paper. And she said, "These are the sacred things of this place, Brighton." And then she instructed them to burn their wishes in the fire. As they burned their wishes, she told them, "The murmurations of starlings on the pier have spelled out the future as a question mark, for they are more honest and clever and humble than your glittery fortune teller in the railway arches. We do not know what is coming. The wild ones know that." "And now a poem," said Bridget, "for today is the day of poets and hope." Bridget stood. She spoke. There was a clever young woman called Kay who dreaded her own wedding day. So she wore her red shoes to get rid of her blues. Then she danced far away. After the story, they all left the garden and went down to the sea. Bridget told them to jump in. She said, "True, it's cold enough to stop your hearts, but you must jump in, because to be afraid of water is to be afraid of life, and what is needed most in these terrible, wonderful times is courage and a lust for life." They jumped. Their dresses and their hair and their shirts opened like flowers in the freezing water. They screamed and they laughed and they swam. When they came shivering out, Bridget wrapped them each in blankets and breathed on them until they were perfectly dry. She said, "The starlings here must compete with the car alarms. They are very good mimics. Listen. Amongst all this racket, you too must learn to mimic to survive." "What do you mean we must mimic?" asked Kay, intrigued. "You pretend to be good. You mimic acceptable societal norms. Wait. Then, when you have power, sing your own song. It'll scare the shit out of them." They all adore Bridget now. She seems mad and fun and exciting and wise all at once. Sam whispered to Jackie, "This is a brilliant show. It's even better than that time when I saw an interactive version of Dangerous Liaisons in an empty estate agent's in Forest Hill. I wonder if it's Arts Council funded." As they stood on the beach under the swirling green sky, Bridget said, "You have forgotten me, but you still know me too. I am Bridget, and I bring you the promise of new beginnings, the return of the light of spring of hope. I protect poets, dreamers, makers. I encourage you to blossom, to become what you were already meant to be. Go." They all surged with happiness, felt drunk with it, blessed. They danced on the beach. Vera shouted into the wind and enjoyed that the wind could match her rage with more joyful, epic rage of its own. Rachna wrote messages in pebbles and strange letters no one recognised. Kerry and Jackie waltzed elegantly to music no one else could hear. Sam chased the waves up and down the pebbles, laughing. Tash laid on her back and counted the stars on her fingers, and it was as if they were all in the inky sky above, dancing in that shining firmament. And like those stars, they were ancient and volatile and unknowable too. At the same time, Kay danced in her red shoes. She danced on the pebbles of the beach that bruised her feet. She danced on the steps by the green railings, up and down, up and down. She danced in the milky shallows of the breaking waves. She danced on candy floss and buckets and spades and novelty tea towels. She danced and danced until her red shoes were danced to pieces and they fell away. And then she rose, now with beautiful red webbed feet. With wide grey-white wings, she called out a powerful shriek, then swooped to dance with the wind, a seagull dancing, curling her red feet in the place where red shoes once were. She danced in the children's playgrounds and the baseball court. She danced past gaggles of girls on hen nights and tourists and weekenders. She danced past local folk on their way home from work, past the trills and strobes of the arcade machines. She danced on the charred bones of the old pier. She danced, she flew, she swooped, she glided, on and higher and higher. "See," said Bridget from far below on the beach, "the world is full of wonders." And somehow Kay heard her, looked down and saw her friends asleep in a pile of blankets and limbs and hair on the unkind bed of pebbles.
small smiles on their faces, feet twitching in dream. Remember, Kay, the world has some surprises in store for you yet. For all of us. It's not the end, said Bridget, waving goodbye and fading away. Much later, Kay woke, not as a bird, but as a woman with bruised feet and a full heart, and not on the beach, but in the hotel room. As she opened her eyes, she saw that her limbs were all tangled up with the arms and legs of her friends as they lay spread-eagled on one queen-sized bed. In her hand lay a crumpled piece of paper, a tiny scroll tied with a piece of soft white wool and a feather. She unrolled it. It said, Kay, hope you have a wonderful wedding day. Remember you can dance. Remember you can fly. Remember you can write your own story. See you next year.